Okay, this is Roger Molina on the New Leonardos channel for Creative Disturbance. I'm here with Stephen Kovats, who's currently living in Berlin. And what we thought we'd talk about today is what we need is smart citizens, not smart cities. So, Stephen, maybe you can open the conversation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we talk about urbanism, it depends a lot, you know, what kind of urbanism and where we're talking about it. And this discussion about technology within the urban realm is nothing new. But I've always had a bit of a difficulty with this notion of the smart city, because I see that as a means of losing our own autonomy as individuals, and losing, let's say, even control of our technological environment. And I think that as citizens, our relationship with the city means also having an understanding of the technology that we are using and that we're surrounded with. So I do prefer the notion of the smart citizen, because ultimately we are the ones who define how we live our urbanism, how we define cities, how we live together. And I think when we lose that and we become anonymous members in a kind of like a lost city matrix, we're in a little bit of trouble.
So as you may not know, but about 10 years ago, I wrote an Open Observatory manifesto. And part of the argument there was that not only should we have open data, so that if our tax dollars were paying governments to collect data, then we should have a right to that data. But coupled to that was a duty that we should also be generating our own data. And clearly in urban environments, citizens were very well placed to collect data about where they live, pollution levels, radioactivity levels, and so on. But in general, the efforts that have been developed coming out of some of the citizen science movement and the open science movement have been very limited. And so I think what's interesting to see how, and in a different context today, you talked about going from tactical actions to strategic actions. So how do you see the smart citizen movement maybe networking among different groups? How do we learn from each other and develop techniques?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there is really such a thing as a movement of the smart citizen in that sense. I think it's very much about even an attitude and a social process, more than a purely technocratic or technological scenario. It's I think it's very much, as you were saying, this attitude towards data and what kind of expectations we have about data, and how we can access material which is about us, how we can then use that for doing different kinds of things than perhaps the original authors had intended. So I think we're in a scenario where we should be looking much more at usable knowledge bases and knowledge commons. In the context that I'm working in, let's say in a place like South Sudan, where we really can't talk about, you know, technology and urbanism in the same way as a place like Dallas, we still have the necessity to be able to share and apply information in a much more efficient way than is being done currently, in order to develop education systems, healthcare systems, more open forms of governance, right into urban development schemes.
Maybe you could just give one example, maybe of smart citizen activity that you think is indicative of the kind of things that are now possible.
Well, I mean, for example, there are many projects which are taking place around the world around citizen data, witnessing, citizen mapping, and so on, citizen journalism, for example, where we just simply have a much more direct, much more straightforward way of understanding, let's say, environmental processes than are possible than if just a few localized government monitors are doing it. One very, very good example I like to use, I mean, it's not really an urban example, but it's applicable to urbanism as well. It's a project that was developed in Tanzania together with a farming group in an area called Bagamoyo, where over a number of years, there was visible crop damages happening. The farmers didn't have a very good way of actually describing and being able to share the experience of what was happening. And a very, very simple Android app was developed. So technology in its sort of its most simplest form. It's an app which is called Ojo Voz. I suppose if you speak Spanish, you can pronounce it better than me, but iVoice. All the app does is it allows you to take a photograph. Then you have to give a brief voice description of it. The location where that photograph is taken is then geotagged onto a map. Every week, the farmers from the different communities get together and compare their observations and their recordings. So, they have a way to be able to describe to others what is happening with their things. Oh yeah, maybe Bob has seen that problem and knows a solution, or maybe doesn't. But at the same time, that information, it gets uploaded and it can be viewed by the government, by the FAO. By anybody who then might actually have solutions to dealing with that kind of problem without the need, for example, to send surveyors in to learn the whole place and be able to then collect that data. But you have people who themselves are the experts because they are the users, they are the farmers on location, to deliver that data. They deliver it in a way which is useful to the scientists who deal with how to mitigate that kind of a problem. So we have a lot of those kinds of scenarios where you get these forms of knowledge bases, which are then shareable, but not just shareable amongst a community of common users, but of different levels of user that have different forms of experience, information, and expertise.
I think I mentioned yesterday that I met last week here in Marseille, American professor Alan, and she's doing epidemiological surveys in the Étang de Berre, which is where a lot of the oil refineries right. here. And it turns out the existing studies not only show that there's a lot of pollution, but actually there are illnesses that are prevalent and so on. And she's her project really gets into what's sometimes called participative science, where indeed it's the residents who are collecting the health data. I mean, obviously they have the vested interest. Normally, you know, people who are collecting health data don't really want to deal with the people. And so it's going to be very interesting on how her project, I mean, not only can the residents appropriate the problem that they're living with, but as I joked, data is power. And as soon as you have data of your own, you can get into a different kind of discussion with someone, which is very different than an expert saying, I have the data, this is what it says, when the citizen, in fact, is not in a position to really understand the biases in that data, or maybe some of the errors in that data, and so on. So I think the smart citizen thing obviously couples with a number of different things, not only political organization, but also how in local communities we have the data on what's going on in our own community.
Sure, no, absolutely. And it's not just power per se, but it's empowerment. As soon as people understand why it is that they're using a certain technology to be able to tell a kind of a story, then it becomes much more than just a game. If they see a result coming out of it, they understand that, yeah, I mean, this observation that I have or this experience that I have is actually useful for somebody else to be able to help solve the kinds of scenarios or problems that I'm dealing with, we end up really in an empowering situation. And I like to call these technologies empowerment technologies if they can achieve that kind
yeah,
of
thing. I have an anecdote actually from living here in Marseille. About, I think, 7 years ago, as you may know, if you go north of here, there's a very large nuclear power plant that's on the river and uses the river water as part of its cooling. And one day there was sort of this little thing on the news saying, oops, there's been a little spill in the nuclear power plant, don't eat the fish. And people started calling City Hall, and City Hall, they didn't know. That there was nobody in their health department monitoring radioactivity. You had to call Paris, or the nuclear agency here in France. And then it turned out that there some of the artist groups here actually started downloading some of these cell phone apps that allow you to convert your cell phone into a radiation monitor. And so then they could actually go around and monitor the local radiation. And then they would, you know, tell the City Hall, you've got a problem. Well, then it got into a huge debate and so on. And apparently it was a very small. But in fact, I downloaded that cell phone app on my phone. And in fact, I can go around and measure the ambient radioactivity. It's not as accurate as a Geiger counter. But in fact, as you say, that empowers you to say, well, I can ask the question and not just listen to what the government is telling me.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes these technologies also don't work. I mean, how do you know that that app actually is effectively monitoring the radiation? I mean, it can also be a hoax. But the point is that it creates an awareness and an understanding about a certain kind of process that then will also force the authorities into action,
because
they have to come up with an answer to that question.
Or in all the makerspaces, there's no reason you can't set up a calibration station and go test the app and see whether it's really measuring what it's measuring. And so, in fact, the ability to do that kind of calibrated testing, a maker group can do that with no problem. It's not very high tech. It just takes a little bit of expertise.
Yeah. I mean, all I meant to say about that is simply that, you know, we are in a scenario where, again, we are empowered because we have the means to ask the right questions, and we now require a proper answer.
Okay, so we're going to have to close this down, and maybe listening to us, there are some of the people building smart cities who might want to enter the discussion. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.